Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. What a day it is to be with you on this beautiful October 27, 2025. What a glorious day it is to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the day that anything is possible, for we serve a God of the impossible. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever situation, my friend, He is more than enough. Welcome in on Mornings with Box 2 Radio. We're so thankful that you're joining us with us this 2 hours from 7 to 9 a.m. Central Time each day here on 91.1 Hinesville, Glasgow, 91.5 Hartonsburg and Litchfield, and 98.3 Owensboro, Kentucky. Also, if you're listening via the app, welcome in this morning. What a glorious day it is for you to join us, and it's a beautiful day. I don't mind the rain, to be honest with you, too much, and I think the weather feels good. I think the one thing I'm going to have to get used to is it still being dark when you get up. It just kind of feels like you're waking up too early. And so, but it is, I'm not going to complain because I'm loving the cooler weather. I am loving the cooler weather.
I kind of forgot about it getting dark earlier, and I was like, has daylight savings already happened? But it's on November 2nd.
Hannah was just hoping she'd go back to bed. She'd go, I can go back to bed. It's too early.
No, it's just kind of, I don't know. It's not the same, like, it doesn't put you in the same mood as when you get up and see the sunrise or the sunlight, so.
Well, Miss Gretchen, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well.
Amen. And Miss Hannah, you've already talked, but how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Still filled with gratitude.
Even with the darker weather,
yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Even with the darker weather. Well, we got a great broadcast this morning. Do we have a guest this morning, Miss Hannah?
We're supposed to be hearing from Miss Megan Fortner, so we haven't heard from her in a while. She's had a lot going on, but yes, we're supposed to be hearing from her this morning.
Amen.
Lord willing.
And we got some great questions. We're still in the book of Jude, and we are going to do our Proverbs of the day. So going to be a great morning ahead of us. Of course, as always, if you want to interact or connect with the broadcast, 270-230-6337. Again, that's 270-230-6337. And we'd love to connect with you. If you got a Bible question, bring them on in. If you got an input or a comment you would like to interact with, please don't hesitate to text us. Again, that's 270-230-6337. Mr. Miller.
Yeah.
I was going to say something to Miss Gretchen, and I forgot I already did that. So, Mr. Miller, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing great. I am happy to be here.
Amen.
As always.
It was a wonderful chili cook-off for us at Bethel Christian Academy as well. And so we had an incredible turnout. So many,
it was good.
I think a little bit over $7,700 raise for the ministry of Bethel Christian Academy. And so we are very honored, and we were just full of gratitude and humbled that you all would join us on that Saturday night and just help us raise funds for Christian education. Mm-hmm. And it was an incredible night over the week. Sometimes this week I will give honor to our table sponsors, and I want to honor them for being a part of the chili cook-off as well. And even though they couldn't be there, they were still helping and sponsoring. So very just generous, and great food, great fellowship, great community that night. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like everybody had a lot of fun, a lot of laughters, a lot of smiles, a lot of kids. And you could never complain about that. Amen.
Amen.
Little Ezra saw me across. Mariah was holding him, and he looked at me, and he just started to cheese. It was the biggest cheese he's ever given me in his life, and he's just cheesing. And I said, oh, gosh, looks like Ethan. but it was a wonderful night. It really was. And so if you're listening, you helped out serving, helping, preparing whatsoever, thank you for that as well. It was a very, very good night. And just excited for this Wednesday night. We, Lord willing, weather permitting, we're going to have another hayride. This one just the hayride, and going to go back to Danger Point and make some hot dogs, maybe eat some chili again. Greg Carwall's like, chili. I know if he's listening, just his mouth water.
I know he wasn't there.
Yeah, I really thought he was coming to chow down on some chili, but, you know.
Hey, you could have ate a hot dog.
There's a hot dog in there, Sloppy Joe's. I don't know. I hid my wife's potato soup until it was time to eat, and that's what I ate. I ate one bowl of that, and I missed the dessert table. you just see the desserts table and you think, I remember those days.
Yeah.
I remember those days. But it was a fantastic night. And
it's for probably smart because once you try one, you want to try another.
Yeah.
Like,
I've done learned my lesson at Miss Crystal's. she was like, I made dirt cake. And I was like, okay, I'll just do dirt cake. And then Heather come up and said, well, there's brownies. And I said, okay, maybe just one brownie. And then Miss Gretchen made her homemade peanut butter cookies, right? It was did you make the cookie that night?
Miss Crystal's? Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. And then so Heather said, you should try those cookies. So I had to try the cookies. And before long, I've ate four different desserts. And I said, whoa.
Man, I missed out on the peanut butter cookies. I would have got those.
That's because I ate them all.
That probably is. But
I kept going back.
What got me on, like, I think my third dessert was when Paloma walks in with these little apple cheesecakes and these little cupcake liners. They looked amazing. And so I had to try that. People just, their baking talents get the best of us.
That was a good day. it's a good day for desserts.
I would have loved to have had Miss Doris's fried apple pies at the chili cook-off. But
did she not bring them?
Yes, she did, but they always go so high.
Yeah, I remember one year I was voting on, I was bid on them. Finally, I just said, I can't do it. Maybe I could just pay her this amount to make me some.
she auctioned them.
Yeah, Heather loves them. Mm-hmm. And so, well.
They're famous, too.
I missed out on all the desserts. I didn't get a single one.
Well, you was your wife was the overall winner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to work this out in my head that how the one passing out spoons and walking with the judges was the one that ended up winning.
It was
but
suspicious.
Yeah. It was. I mean, was there ever a time in your heart that you was suspicious, Jason Miller?
Well, I didn't really entertain the idea of her winning. She's never really come close, but I mean, I like her chili and all, but
well, this was the first year I seen her walking with the judges, though. Usually,
well, she didn't put any noodles into. Apparently, that's one of the precursors there for winning.
No noodles. Has a noodled one ever won before?
I don't know. I guess so. Probably. I think she over noodles, so that was her downfall in the past years.
Is that like a diagnosis?
Yeah, that was.
You are over noodled.
Greta and I both have one, and we both put. I use the angel hair spaghetti.
Yeah.
And I was surely you'd think that would be a plus, you know. Angel hair.
Can somebody make some with chickpea noodles? Because that's the only thing I can eat now. Mm. Actually, I really like the chickpea noodles. I actually really enjoy them. That with chicken Alfredo is very good. Yeah, that is very good.
But would you
eat the
beans?
Chickpea beans? I think I did.
No, the beans and chili.
Oh, I don't know. I do love lentils now, and I eat split. There's a lentil
so
split
did you
pea
try
rice.
Oh, I love
I don't
lentils
eat chili.
And split peas.
No. Yeah, lentils and split pea rice. No, that's where it's at. That is very good.
I think that's what got Esau.
that's why he sold his birthright.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a question. I was sitting there driving home yesterday, and I've been nursing an injury pretty bad. And so it is, I went to the gym just to sit in the sauna because it really does help the inflammation. So I was coming home yesterday afternoon. I was sitting there thinking, I was like, you know, fall is now here. Like, it feels like fall.
The trees are so getting pretty, too. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I was thinking, what dessert just hits the palate during fall that doesn't hit the rest of the year?
Oh, that's pumpkin pie, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Pumpkin
yeah,
pie?
Probably yeah. Anything pumpkin, because mm-hmm. I don't really want pumpkin.
So if you ate pumpkin pie in uh-huh. spring.
It wouldn't work.
Uh-uh.
Wouldn't work.
Wouldn't work. And then there's, of course, apple cider, but I don't know if that's a dessert, but that's a big deal.
The kids really enjoyed apple cider slushies the other day.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of that.
Good. Yeah.
But
I'm
actually,
not a big fan of slushies, period.
I got the hot cider, actually.
Yeah, I did, too.
And it was good.
Yes, I've had really that. Good. And I have some at home. I'm about to finish it off. That I kind of mix it all together. I use apple cider and pineapple juice and orange juice and, and then cinnamon and cloves, you know, in it. So.
So what about pecan pie?
Oh, yeah. I like pecan pie. You can eat pecan
like,
pie.
Yeah, that anytime. Stands the test of time. Yeah.
But it is better. It's better in the fall.
Pecan pie is not seasonal. The palate hits any time of the year.
It's not, is it
pecan must be seasonal because Your sister's kids are selling them for their youth group.
Yeah. The squirrel, I have a pecan tree, and the squirrels are after them.
You have a pecan tree? Mm-hmm. Do you have to, like, take care of it specially?
No. I don't even know which tree it is. There's several trees, and there's pecans around.
Do you ever eat them?
No. The squirrels, they are after them big time.
Jason's going to be...
Like, but I have... I made a pecan pie. Daniel Tillman's mom there, when back in the day, she would bring us pecans from her pecan tree. And I shelled them and made some pecan pie from that.
So can I ask you a serious question, Jason? This is very serious.
Okay.
You probably got 15 to 20 years still. Not to live. No, that's not what I meant. No.
That's a prophecy.
All right, so like... I come out wrong, all right? It's not the insinuation that I made.
Okay.
I was thinking along the more lines, when you are kind of nearing more retirement phase, can you see yourself talking to squirrels in the yard?
No, I don't see that at all.
It seems like that is something that...
We have a bit of a truce, so they do their thing with the pecans and all that, and I don't bother them.
So what you're saying is you're already talking to the squirrels.
Now, I thought, I had a raccoon in my attic, and I thought it was squirrels at first. And I thought, all right, we're going to go to war. But it wasn't. There was a raccoon in my attic.
Did you bring out the shofar?
No.
And did you march around your attic?
I had quite a bit of a battle, but in the end, it was a honey bun that got the raccoon. No joke.
They can't resist the honey bun.
Yep.
So if you made a truce with the squirrel, like how did this truce come about?
It's kind of an unspoken thing. I see them, they see me, and we...
You just have a mutual understanding.
Yeah.
So is that kind of already there?
Yeah. You don't have
but
to.
I've heard stories of them, eating electrical wire from your vehicles and... chewing through the gas line of vehicles and
so you're telling them to stay in their spot and you'll be okay.
Yes.
All right.
They can have all the pecans they want as long as they leave everything else alone.
That's what's going on right now, yeah.
Is that part of taking the dominion over the animals? Like
he don't even have to talk. He just gives them the look.
Like we are supposed to.
Now my dog chases them. But.
I have to tell a story. My daughter-in-law, they live in Pittsburgh, and her boss... she doesn't eat meat. She's a vegetarian, total vegetarian, and she's real, into not, killing animals or anything like that. And she went on a vacation and was gone. When she came back, the mice had eaten through some serious parts of her car, And so she's ready to get them. She's, of course, she don't eat mice, but anyway, she was going to kill them. that was to her. And she probably would have done the squirrels if they had gotten it.
Well, I did hear one last story on Jason over the weekend.
Okay.
I don't know why this is pick on Jason morning, but I like this. I get used to this. I heard a story about somebody trying to let in their dog into their house. And he was at the back door. And then he heard the dog at the front door, so he just went to the front door. And then his wife thought, I should go downstairs right before bed and just check. And lo and behold, the back door is sitting wide open in the kitchen. And somebody had notoriously, I have heard, has become kind of notorious for leaving doors open.
I did. I don't know how I got tasked with the job of making sure all the doors are locked at night, because if it were up to me, I probably would never lock my doors. But anyway, so I was supposed to lock the doors, and I thought the dog was outside. So I opened the door, the side door, the kitchen, and then I got distracted somehow.
So do you think the raccoon...
left the door wide open.
Do you think you was the one that let the raccoon at some point?
No, I know how it got in, but...
So it wasn't an open door.
Yeah, no, it wasn't open.
See, Jason's doing spiritual warfare. He's making sure there's no open doors. This is the spiritual part of being a leader of your household. You're supposed to check the doors.
That means they had no right to be wide open.
So they can get evicted.
You mean wide open.
Yeah, like open air. Then went to bed.
That is something I would do. Heather would say, that would be you, Aaron. That would be you. I couldn't tell you how many times I've left a car door open or a window undone or something like that. I have done it quite a bit.
These stories kind of originate. We were going to see my grandfather in the nursing home, and somebody had given me some money. It wasn't our money. I was supposed to give it to the church or something like that. Anyway, and Kelly was like, "Well, you need to take care of that money and put it in your wallet." So, you know. I was like, no, I'll just put it here in the door of the car, and it'll be fine. You know, we went inside the nursing home to see if my grandfather. We were there probably an hour. I came back out. The door was wide open. I didn't even shut the door. And there, that money was in the pocket of the door.
So. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't Kelly take a picture of that for you?
Yeah, she did.
Oh, I've heard that story. I love it. All right. Well, we'll do our Proverbs of the day. We'll get more spiritual, but I'm sitting here thinking about all the desserts that everybody's going to eat during the holiday season that I can't. But I can tell you one thing. Sugar cookies are on the menu during Christmas.
I like those. Miss Joanne makes
them. I'll do a couple extra laps, but sugar cookies are always on the menu for Christmas. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath. But a harsh word stirs up anger. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was our Proverbs of the day. Jude chapter 1, and we finished in verse, what verse did we finish in? I thought I had it marked. But my
I did too.
I had it marked on my app, and... maybe I'm in the wrong gap. There we go. I was in the wrong gap. 14. 14 is where we find ourselves. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all of the ungodly of their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him." These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loudmouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. Woo! That's a word. Read verse 16 in the KJV, somebody.
These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage.
Strong language.
Mm-hmm. He was ungodly three times in verse 15.
I think he was driving home a point.
Yeah. These are ungodly people.
Yeah, they are grumblers. They complain. They grumble and... I think we are all capable of doing that if we're not careful. Like it almost becomes natural to grumble, especially in today's age. But, these guys are making a habit of it. Like it's just who they are. They grumble. And a lot of times grumbling comes with division and discord. Like they're grumbling, they're complaining, they're going behind each other's back, but yet they're loudmouth boasters. So they grumble, but then they'll boast about themselves and their own achievements. So basically what it is, to me, and y'all can correct me if y'all don't think I'm right on this one, because this is just kind of my opinion. I'll say it like Paul would say it. This is me. I feel like these guys are very narcissistic, because narcissistic people tend to grumble about other people. They complain about other people. They always blame other people. They always critique, but yet they talk about how great they are. And I feel like these are people who are doing that, and they are very prideful and arrogant, and they're willing to show favoritism just to gain advantage. Mm. And how many times in ministries, churches? Because, again, Jude's talking specifically to the church. Do we see people that come in and they'll suck up to the right ones? They'll take the right ones out for dinner. They will cater to the highest tithers. They will make sure the ones that give the most money are taken care of, while the ones that give very little money are most of the time forgotten or overlooked. They will find the ones with the most giftings and talents, and they'll suck up to them because they know they'll be the most beneficial to getting the ministry done. And these are people who become very narcissistic, building their own kingdom, care about gain and advantage, and they're going along with their own sinful desires. And so many times, own sinful desires is self-indulgences. It's what satisfies me, what builds me up, what feeds my lust, what feeds my flesh, what feeds my pride. And I can see these people very much walking in this way. But.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Because I think one of the definitions of narcissism is like egotistical. Yourself is in the center of your universe. Mm-hmm. So putting yourself before everyone. I actually counted, it said ungodly 4 times. In verse 15.
1, 2, 3, 4. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
It's really driving it home.
I think it's really trying to tell us something there, that these people are ungodly.
And that's what the Lord's coming to execute judgment on those people. I'm sure y'all have already covered Enoch before, last week probably. But It just seems odd to me that this book would be referenced, and it seems to be held in high regard, but it's not part of the canon of the Old Testament.
Well, this is not. Now, this is where I argue, and okay. most a lot of your scholars and a lot of your Bible teachers are trying to make this point. This probably 99% sure is not the book of Enoch in circulation.
Right. This is Enoch that walked with God and was
yes,
not.
Yes. This was Noah's great grandfather. Yeah. And so I think this is why I think a lot of people take the book of Enoch in circulation, though.
Right.
And they say that's the book that Jude references, so we need to read that. But that's not the same.
No,
book.
No, I agree there.
And so.
But yeah, but I'm saying about this Enoch.
Oh. So maybe I misheard your question. I'm sorry. Go for it again.
But it seems to be held in high regard.
Uh-huh.
And I assume it was something that was written down, like a book. So I guess why is it not? I guess there's really any answer to that. There's no way we could answer it. But
you have to ask the Lord that.
Yeah. I'm always kind of curious about things like that. You know, how did it not make it as part of the history of prophecy?
I think
prophecy.
You could say the same thing about, like, when John mentions if every work that Jesus did was written down, yeah, and the earth couldn't contain it. I think there's going to be a lot of things the Lord has done that is not chronicalized. Is that the right word? Written down?
Chronicled.
Recording? Whatever, recorded?
Yeah. Chronicled, and then you would be, say, canonized.
Canonized.
If it's
okay.
Going to be part of the scriptures.
So that was never written down, never made official canon, never made and I don't know if we can ask why. Like, I mean, if you go like the Gospel of Thomas, I can definitely tell you why that book's not in there, or Gospel of Mary or something like that, or even Gospel of Judas. But those are books that are not. And then, of course, the Apocrypha, that was written during the silent years of the Lord. That was historical evidence of what was happening in Israel, but not God speaking to the people.
Right.
And so I couldn't tell you why we don't have, like, what Enoch wrote down as a prophet. But it's the same reason I can't tell you why we don't have the third letter of Corinthians in the Bible.
But, you know, like what it says here, that, you know, Enoch prophesied of these sayings of, you know, the Lord was coming. There's probably many down. I mean, they were all looking for, you know, in the Messiah.
This is pre-flood. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they're all looking for him coming, you know. And so that's why I was just thinking that, you know, that there's probably a lot that have, that saw it and prophesied it, you know, and their words weren't written down either, so.
Yeah.
So.
I guess it just, I wonder. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there's really no way to answer it because, you know, we'd have to talk to God or Enoch, one or the other. But I do wonder why, you know, obviously he's referencing it and the people would have known what he's talking about, you know. So.
Yeah. Now, I've never read the Book of Enoch that we know of, but it does reference, I think, Enoch.
Yeah.
It does reference him, but it's not written by the guy.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of people accredit that book, like saying that's what Jude was referencing. But I think he was just talking about Enoch. But right. I think the Book of Enoch talks about Enoch, so therefore people associate them together.
Yeah.
But I do not believe
And
myself.
I suppose it's possible that it wasn't even a book that was written, but just a story passed down, you know, that he did prophesy this, you know, from generation to generation. You know, maybe it wasn't a written form. So, anyway, I was just kind of curious.
Yeah. All right. We're in verse 17 now. Verse 17. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their ungodly passions. So Jude is actually saying exactly what Peter says, too. Mm-hmm. It is these who cause division, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. Now, again, Jude's addressing the church. Like he's saying there's going to be those who are scoffers following their own ungodly passions. And is these that cause division, worldly people. It's those who are following themselves. And I think this really comes back to, are you following the Lord or are you following yourself? Who are you going to listen to, the Lord or your own intellect? The Lord or your own desires? The Lord or your own passions? The Lord or your own wants? And that's one of the hardest things to crucify in ministry and in the church. And this is why we are talking specifically to the church, because this is who Jude talking to. But it's very hard sometimes to crucify your own desires and make sure what you're discerning and deciphering is by way of Holy Spirit and not by way of yourself. And that is one of the hardest things about being a leader in the body of Christ. And whether you're an elder, whether you're a pastor, you're a teacher, whatever that looks like, is to make sure you're not fighting for what you want. And you're not basing what you think is best. It's always got to come back to sensitive to the Holy Spirit, listening to Holy Spirit, asking the Lord to guide you, asking the Lord for His desire, asking the Lord for His wisdom, for His guidance. And this is why, especially in the body of Christ, like A.W. Tozer wrote some of the greatest stuff in history on just, you know, in commentary and knowledge of the holy and some other things. And basically, he wouldn't even let a newspaper into his office. Like, if you were having a visit with him or you had an appointment with him, he would make you leave the newspaper outside the office. He was not going to entertain it. Why? Because he was to this point where, and I've read this about him, it seemed like he was like, I'm guarding what I'm receiving. Mm-hmm. I'm guarding what I'm hearing because nothing can influence me outside the Word of God in prayer. Wow. Like he had to know that what he was feeling, thinking was not coming from an external source, that it was coming straight from the Holy Spirit and straight from the Word of God. And that is tough because we have so much social media, news. We are in such a politically divisive world today. Like, it's very easy to start seeing things through the lens of other things.
Amen.
And here it's like, which one are we going to follow? Because if we ever start operating from ourself or our ungodly passions or something that's unbiblical, and maybe it even appears to be good but it's unbiblical, then it causes division and it's devoid of the Spirit of God. So everything we do, every decision that we make, every word that we say needs to be filtered, inspired, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And That's difficult. I'm saying this process is simple, but the execution, I think, is sometimes more difficult because we will get ourselves involved. And that's where we need the Holy Spirit to help us discern.
Amen.
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 I'm going to take a break here. I'm going to let you all talk more. All right. No, it is time for our break, though. First trivia question of the day. And let's see here. What do Anna, Hadah, Miriam, and Hudah, right? Anna, Hudah, Miriam, and Deborah all have in common? What do Anna, Hudah, Miriam, and Deborah all have in common? Am I saying that right?
Is it Huldah?
I don't know.
Is there an L in it?
Yeah, but it's... I don't think it's...
Anna and Huldah.
Hudah. Huldah. Huldah. I like Hudah. Okay.
Miriam and Deborah, that's for sure.
I thought I've heard people call it Hudah. Like, it looks like Hudah. What is it? Huldah? But I've heard people say Hudah. Oh, somebody's already calling. All right. Well, I'm going to take a break.
Ask them how to pronounce it.
We'll be right back after the break. All right. We do have an answer for that trivia question. Welcome back in to Mornings of Box 2 Radio on this October 27, 2025. And Miss Crystal Taylor got it correct. I lost service there with her at the end, but she got the answer before I lost service. But it was... all were called a prophetess. I didn't have time to ask her how to say the word, Jason. But are you all probably correct? You all usually are. Huldah.
I don't know much about her.
But. I looked up the interlinear, and it's the her Hebrew. It's spelled C-H-U-L-D-A-H, and so it does have a like cool doll. It's K-H-O-O-L, and then D-A-W, the pronunciation.
It's like A-N-W.
That's my name. Yeah. I'm still waiting for all those royalties one day. No, I'm just kidding.
I think, yeah, we probably aren't pronouncing most Hebrew names correctly.
I know. Yeah. It throws
here
me
in
off.
Kentucky.
What's that supposed to mean, Jason Miller?
I said we, not you. Rich Mullen said, if you're not hawking up loogies, you're not speaking Hebrew correctly.
Dwayne Kidd said, they are all women. Yeah. That is a great observant, Pastor Dwayne. That's a great observant.
If he had called that in, would you have to give it to him?
No, I just tell people that's not what Miss Gretchen's looking for.
He could argue that point.
Miss Gretchen got me in a jam that one day whenever she said, what apostle was a physician? And it was Luke, and everybody knew it, but I was like, Luke's not an apostle. So I was like, that's a trick question. She was trying to trick us there.
I thought the answer was they all had songs recorded in the scripture. But I didn't know Miriam was considered a prophetess. But I mean, I'm not arguing. I'm just saying I was wrong.
I'm trying to remember if they have songs.
I know Miriam didn't.
The song Miriam. Of Miriam.
And Mary did, yeah.
And then Deborah, too.
Deborah did, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I remember a song of Huldah.
I honestly don't even know who that is, to be honest with you.
I have the scripture up here. She is mentioned twice. And both times
Judges?
It says the prophetess. No, Kings and Chronicles.
That's why nobody knows her. She's in Chronicles.
She's the wife
I love Chronicles.
Shalom.
Shalom?
S-H-A-L-L-U-M.
Oh.
Shalom. And what is this something? And he was the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. And now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. This is all King James, too. So it's all.
She keeps the clothes in the college. All right.
Well, no, that's the son of the
son.
Oh,
the son. Okay. That was the son of the son of the son. Yeah. I gotcha. Well, all right. Well, we are at that point in time that we do our. You got a Kingdom Corner for us this morning, Hannah, and then we're going to go right into Bible questions.
Yeah. So, I'm in James chapter 1, verse 25, and I will start there. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And so, I love how the context of this, because, you know, we've talked a lot about that verse 27, what true religion is. But it really, it gives so much context into even the, not just being a hearer, but a doer. And the part that really spoke to me was the part about the bridling your tongue. So in verse 26, it says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's this person's religion is worthless. And then it goes on to talk about what true religion is, what true, you know, walking out your faith looks like. And that's really, I believe, what religion is. I think that this chapter teaches us that, you know, we have so many connotations with the word religion, as far as, you know, the religious leaders of the day in Jesus's day, the Pharisees and the negative things that, the faults that they had. But religion itself, it's teaching us what that's supposed to be. And it all has to do with our actions. It's what we do. Because if we don't do anything for the Lord, and we just believe and we just hear and we don't do anything and we don't walk it out, then I think that we would not be considered to have a religion. Because religion has to do with more than just belief. It has to do with your actions and your behavior, your customs, your works, really. But I love that what it says here is, if anyone thinks that he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. And I feel like what the Lord was speaking to me was, you know, again, we know the scripture of out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the tongue is always going to reveal what is truly in our heart, and whether our heart is deceived or not. Because part of having this true religion that it's talking about is watching what we say. And, you know, scripture also talks about how we will be justified by our words and we will be condemned by our words. We will be held accountable for those. And, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day about, you know, words have such power. And I never really, with this passage, I never really zoned into, I know that James does talk more about the tongue later on in the book. But in this first chapter, you know, I never really paid attention to that verse sandwiched in there, with the not just being a hearer, but a doer, and who acts, and how you'll be blessed. And then also, the pure and undefiled religion. But it fits in beautifully, I think, because when our heart is right, our tongue will be right. And when our tongue is right, the things that we're saying, we're going to be able to be effective as we go and visit the orphans and the widows. Because if we go and visit the orphans and the widows, but our heart and our tongue is not right, we could, just as James says later on in other chapters, we could end up doing more damage with our tongue than actually helping. And I feel like that's been highlighted to me, that, you know, if we aren't going to let the Lord lead us, then there's, even though it's telling us to be a doer and not just a hearer, there's really no point in going and doing the things for the Lord if we're not going to be submitting our voice to the Lord. And it kind of goes back to earlier what Aaron was saying about, as part of being a leader, as part of being, you know, a servant in the body of Christ, we have to look for what the Spirit is is leading us to say and do. And we have to give in to what we know is truth and not what is our opinion and not as not just what we think. Because I think when we get so caught up into what we want, our desires, our preferences, that's when we start to operate off of our emotion. But I'm so thankful that we can operate off of the truth and off of what God says. And that's part of bridling our tongue. I think the Holy Spirit is there to help us, but there's an action and an effort that has to be put in there with bridling your tongue. And that is how it's going to help us whenever we go and we minister to the orphans. We are Jesus's hands and feet, an extension of him. We will be able to actually see fruit come from our works and our actions. Is when we allow it to also affect the way that we speak, what we speak, and not just what we speak, but the way that we speak it, our attitude, our delivery. When our heart is right and we're so full of God's love, we will not just say the right thing, but we will express the right thing with the way that we're showing his love. So that's it. James chapter 1.
Amen. I love that verse. I love that portion of text. I love James, to be honest with you.
It's so good.
James is a very good book.
It's very convicting.
Yeah. I know. It was like that part was just sandwiched in there. And I was like, how do... I love how when you really look at the context, though, it speaks volumes into verses that we all know. But when you look at a verse beforehand, it speaks so much more into the whole picture of it. So... it's cool. But James, it makes me want to read it again. We did it, though, didn't we? We did it in a study.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've done James.
On the morning.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do after Jude?
Hosea. And then we're going to go from Hosea to Acts. Mm. And so...
why is it so hard to say Acts?
Acts.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like so much easier to say it as like throwing an axe. Like Acts. I don't know if it's our country accent or what, but
I could get some Hebraic. Acts. We could do that. All right. Can you all discuss John 11:47-53? John 11:47-53. Yes, we sure can. 11:47-53. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was a high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not only for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Anybody want to tackle it?
So I just want to... See.
I don't think he's speaking as Jesus as the Messiah. I don't think Caiaphas is. I think he's trying to preserve the Jews' existence and not be, you know, punished by Rome. That's my take on it, but I'm not as scholarly as maybe you are.
I'm rednecky. I think his intent behind that was what you said, but I think because he was high priest, the Lord was actually using his words to prophesy over a nation. That because they were putting them, that it was the Lord's will that Jesus would be put to death. Mm-hmm. And it was from this statement that the Bible says that it's actually going to start taking place. Like this was, it was saying from that point on, they made plans to put him to death. So it seems like, I don't think Caiaphas's purpose or intent was to prophesy Jesus' salvation to the world or to the nation. I think his intent was it'd be better to take this guy out than him get us all killed.
Right.
But I think whenever it says that, which verse was it? He did not say this on his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. I think the Lord used it.
Yeah. Mm.
I think that's what happens so often. I think a lot of times, like, evil kings, evil priests, all these, they said things and the Lord used it. It wasn't like the Lord made them say it. The Lord used what they say and used it as prophecy. So
it is amazing to think about that, though.
Yeah. I think he's basically saying if we don't get rid of this guy, he's going to get us all killed.
Yeah.
But what comes out of that is that, you know, Jesus is going to die for the nation of Israel.
And that was this statement that it seems put it on track to get his death. Like, from that point on, they were like, how do we take him out? Because if we're not careful, everybody's going to believe. And if Israel started following them, Rome could see that as an open rebellion and destroy the whole nation. So they're like, we need to take this one guy out before we get the whole nation taken out.
So it was like the seed or the spark that ignited, like the seed that caused germination or the spark that caused, you know,
Jameson Fawcett Brown used the term that he was going to make, they apprehended the ruin of the nation was to make a sacrifice of the disturber of their peace. So, and he even has disturber capitalized, so that's that was Jesus in that day.
It reminds me of when Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword.
Amen. All right, let's
move on. So was that someone text that in?
Yeah, it was a listener question. In Genesis 5:22, it says Enoch walked with God. Did he physically walk with God like Adam and Eve in the cool of the day? Did he physically walk with God like Adam and Eve did in the cool of the day?
And then on the flip side would be like walk with God as a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was hoping you'd take it off with it. Well, I'm just thinking on the flip side, if it wasn't him physically walking, then it would be him walking with God, his relationship with God. Most people would agree that, well, he was raptured, or we say raptured, but he was not.
That's caught away. Yeah.
So it does seem like because of that, that he would have physically walked with God. But what do you think, Pastor A?
My answer is probably not going to be satisfactory to a lot of people. I think that he walked closely with the Lord, but I don't think he walked as the cool of the day like Adam and Eve. That would be my take. I think he walked very closely with the Lord. He was walking with the Lord in an amazing way, but I'm not for sure the same way Adam and Eve was.
It would be kind of hard to say that he did the same exact way because of the fall.
Yeah, I mean...
It does say that he... Now I forgot what it was. That he was a... was it say godly? There's only a term used of him and Noah in that day. The reason I brought this question is I heard a preacher, teacher, whatever, say recently that he did walk with God, and they even said that he was in the garden after Adam and Eve were cast out. And I couldn't find any reference. It seems to me that whenever Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, he cast all mankind out of the garden. So I couldn't buy into what the guy was teaching.
Right? How would he get past the cherubim?
Right.
Because the cherubims were established to guard it. Like, yeah. I don't believe the garden has been destroyed. I think it's inaccessible to us at this moment still.
I think it was destroying the flood. but I could be wrong.
But
a good question for a doctor, my mercury.
Yeah.
When is he coming back on? If he can come on Monday.
He was on last week.
Yeah. He wasn't able to come on a Monday.
Yeah, I'll have to get him back on a Monday. I could not see Enoch walking in the garden.
I couldn't either.
Yeah.
Myself.
I
could see him maybe walking with God, like kind of like Adam and Eve did. I could buy into that, but I couldn't in the garden.
Yeah.
But I think that term, we've probably used it for godly people that we mm-hmm. we know. And, you know, it can, maybe not so much because it's King James, you know. But we would, you know, would say they really, their walk with God is, you know, you could tell they're close. And use that in a terminology there. Now, I don't know of anybody that we could say walked with God and he was not, because unless, you know, you think it's like, you know, the Lord took him on home with him. You know, people that, even in this day and time, that they live a godly life but it's their time, I feel like.
Yeah.
Not that because he took them because they were so godly, it was because it was their time. It was ready. That's when God was ready to take them home. So,
yeah, I mean, I would be very. I'm gonna stick to what I think on this one. Of he walked very devoutly, committed, mm-hmm. closely to the Lord, but I don't think he walked in the same way Adam and Eve
yeah.
did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he was kind of a shadow of a rapture. I would give you that. Like it was a shadow, but I think Enoch is this. Like, whenever he first really shows up in Genesis 5, it's just a couple of verses. Like,
yeah,
he lived.
Just three verses.
Walked with God.
Four.
Fathered Methuselah for 300 years. Had some other sons and daughters. Walked with God, and then he was not. And I just think that here, I think the Word of God is telling us that he walked closely with the Lord. Mm-hmm. He was a godly guy, fathered. And the Lord just took him on with him. Like, the Lord took him. Now, how he took him, we don't know. He just kind of took a walk. Like, he walked with God, and he was not. Like, I think we just kind of say he goes out in the woods, takes a walk, then boof, he's gone. I don't even know if it's like that. I think Enoch walked with God. I think saying he was very committed, devout, separated, and then he was not, for God took him. And I don't know if he just, I don't know if I really... The King James is very similar, and Enoch walked with God and was not, and for God took him. Like, I don't even know, like, we make this idea that he just took a walk with the Lord. Like, he just walked in the woods, and all of a sudden he just got taken out. Like, I don't think that was it either. I think the Lord received him.
Hebrews does use the word translated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which yeah. is, to me, like a form of taking up, of capturing. Of.
But it said that he should not see death.
So, yeah.
And was not found. So.
He translated into glory mm-hmm. somehow. He was, for God took him. Like, God took him somehow. And we just don't know how. Like, we really don't know how. Hebrews gives us the most insight of.
Maybe he wrote about it in his book.
could have been. Could have been.
A listener gave us two scriptures for the two different Enochs. Mm-hmm. That there's two Enochs. One through Cain, one through Seth.
Yep.
Okay.
There he is. There's two different Enochs, for sure.
And the one that we're talking about was through Seth.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm just going to...
He was Noah's great-grandfather?
I think
see,
so.
See, Enoch, yeah. Methuselah,
great-grandfather.
Lamech, and then Noah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great-great-grandfather, or great-grandfather? Great-grandfather, yeah.
Lamech was his grandfather, mm-hmm. no, his father, and then Methuselah was his grandfather, and then
so
Enoch
great.
Was his
great-grandfather. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the...
I think Cain had a Lamech as well.
But to the question, I would say the way he walked with God was different than Adam and Eve. That's just me. I think his, but that's my input, because I don't think the Bible really gives us a ton of insight. It just says he walked with God, which could mean he walked with God, or it mean he walked very devoutly. Mm-hmm. By application, he walked with God. He was committed and devout, and he was consecrated and separated unto God. He was a young dude when he died, though, for back then. Mm-hmm. He didn't live that long in comparison to other people around him.
Was it 365 days?
Yeah.
Years. 365 years.
I was like, one. He did a lot in one year. Yeah. I'm just impressed he's walking so well. All right, we're going to take another quick break here, read our second trivia question of the day. What is the name of the first... Miss Gretchen's told me all these good names today. Goodness, what is this? The week of hard names?
Let me check it.
What is the name of the first son of
Bilha?
Rachel's handmaid.
You got that name good. Yeah.
Bilha. Rachel's handmaid. 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break. Aren't you glad that you sought the Lord and he answered? Aren't you glad that he sought the Lord and he answered? Amen. No answer yet for that trivia question. Hallelujah.
Really?
None yet. Maybe it was my pronunciation. People's like, I don't even know what you're asking because I don't know how you're saying these names.
I don't know the answer. But
I'm going to start leaving the trivia questions in there for Hannah. She's going to become the new trivia question reader.
You could have mom read them since she's the one who puts them.
Well, I only got her on Monday.
That's true, yeah.
Unless she wants to record each
day.
Record
Miss Gretchen, will you record the pronunciation, or when you read the trivia questions each week so we can play them each day?
I used to have to do that for Brother Ron.
Look,
I would write them phonetically on the paper there, but he still wouldn't pronounce them right. So.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start reading the questions, and I'll have, like, you know how, like, there's websites to help you read names and stuff like that?
Well,
I will insert
app,
that.
On your Bible app?
Yeah, I'll just record. I'll screen record the Bible app reading the name and go, who was the name of?
There you go.
Just press play. That'd
I'll just
be
press
cool.
play.
I would get aggravated because that's how I would do it. I would listen to, or sometimes you could go to one of the YouTube and it would, you know, pronounce a name for you. But then when I would use my Bible app, maybe the verse was like 54, you know, so you'd have to listen to the whole chapter.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now you can scroll over to your verse.
Oh,
you can?
Yeah, if you scroll up to a verse on the apps, it'll just start where the verse is.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Yep. I know easier. You can highlight verses, but I don't listen to it on my app, so I didn't know if you could skip.
Yeah. You can, as long
I
as you're...
I have done it just, you know, and then what's really bad, though, is get distracted and the verse, you missed it.
Yeah. And now my ESV app, I can just press forward, too, so I can skip verses, I can go back and all that, but...
I do like the way that app, you can...
All right.
Yeah, read that question again, because it should be easy to find.
What is the name of the firstborn son of Bilha, Rachel's handmaid? I said it right earlier. Now I can't say it right now. Y'all got me nervous. I'm just like shaking every time I read that name now. All right. What was the name of the first son born to Bilha, Rachel's handmaid?
The key is Rachel's handmaid.
Right. Rachel's handmaid. Whoever that woman is, that's who we're asking about.
Because you have Rachel and Leah, and they have the two handmaids. It shouldn't be that hard to find the answer.
Oh, all right.
I don't know the answer. I'm just saying.
Miss Brenda Sims sent me an app. I guess it's Biblical Pronunciations.
Oh, okay.
I need that.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
Yes, I need
it's
that.
It's an app for that.
I need that in my life. I'm going to have to find that app.
One.
Greg Carwile said, I didn't hear the beginning of the program. Who won the chili cook-off? Well, let me tell you who won the chili cook-off, Brother Greg.
This has been the worst weekend of my life, I tell you.
Kelly Miller won the chili cook-off as the overall winner.
Yeah, she did.
Jason was so proud.
I'll never live it down. Somehow it's translated to every aspect of our life.
She was giving credit to the other people who helped give her tips,
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
Caleb Taylor.
Yeah, Caleb and Levi came in, and they tasted it Saturday afternoon or morning, and they suggested fresh jalapenos. I even went to Walmart and got her some fresh jalapenos to add to it.
Greg says, congratulations.
Yeah.
No, don't congratulate Jason. I don't think he had anything to do with it.
I had nothing to do with it, but... It seems like I asked Kelly, I was sitting there, I was studying for my sermon next week, and I said something about if she could bring me my glasses, because she was up moving around and I was in the living room, and she's mumbled something about award-winning chili and I had to get up and get my own glasses.
You are beneath me at this point. Yeah. Like, so I don't have to do nothing for you. I won the chili cook-off.
I'm going to have to either win sometime or I don't know. But that's going to be the response, I believe, from now to the day I die, which apparently is 12 to 15 years from now.
That was not what I meant.
I do. I've had a question, and some other people had questions too. So... Josh Newton submitted chili.
Yeah.
But is his chili, because Katie had won several years in a row, is his chili and his wife's chili different, or are
no,
they the same?
He just uses Katie's.
Okay. So they are the same.
So if she can't make it, he just submits it on her behalf.
Okay.
It's hers.
I heard from the judges that if Josh had put his in the hot category, he would have won.
Well, his wasn't in the hot category last year.
It was a little spicy, they said.
No, I'll tell him to suck it up, Buttercup. So. Greg Carwile says, when a man and woman are married, they become one. So if she won, you won.
Okay.
Are you going to be the one to explain that to Kelly?
No. There was a lot of...
So is this an argument for her
room
to bring
for,
him the glasses?
grumbling, murmuring, and complaining. Because, you know, she did... follow around Miss Judy and her, they were kind of helping out with the tasting and everything.
Oh, we noticed.
And I did choose the judges.
Jason chose the judges. Kelly walked around with them. One of them may or may not have been related to them.
I will concede that there are
there's
some
strange
things,
peculiarities
some
here.
Things that could lead someone to believe that everything went on the up and up, but it was on the up and up.
When voiced like this, maybe next year we should have somebody else choose the judges.
Yeah.
So does this fall into...
I have to win next year, or I will. I've never even submitted chili, but I have to win.
Are you going to start practicing now?
Or else I'll never, ever live it down.
Heather has tried so hard to win in the last couple years. And she's won categories, but she's not won overall yet. But she's getting there.
Well, maybe about next year I'll have Greg Carwile be a judge.
When are we going to have a potato soup cook-off? Because my wife would crush that.
Okay.
She would crush that. Let's have potato soup cook-off.
I had potato soup last night.
Yeah.
So. It kind of doesn't roll off the tongue as well, but maybe tater soup.
But you,
well,
you,
I did mention that I think I could distinguish between good chili and bad chili, but I don't know that I could narrow it down to one good chili. I don't see how the judges are able to do that, but that seems a difficult task. Because I had, of course, I had my wife's, and I had Jeremy Hall's, I had Josh Newton's, and I thought they were all equally as good.
Wow, that's sweet.
Yeah.
That's really nice of you to say.
I did too, actually. I had those three. Those
I didn't,
are the
I didn't
three
have
I
any others. Actually, I take that back. I had some kind of white chili, which it was my favorite of all. And I think Josh,
Joanne
Josh,
Lyons,
I think Greg Carwile, I think we could compromise on that white chili.
I think Joanne Lyons made that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think she said that.
Yeah, it was my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel.
I think white chili doesn't get the love that it deserves because it doesn't look like chili.
Well, I feel like I need to defend a statement.
Yeah.
Pastor Duane said he feels the same about potato soup like Greg does chili. Now, I don't like regular watery potato soup. Like, it tastes like water with potatoes in it, okay? I don't want that.
I know an individual.
All right. It's water with potatoes in it. I'm not cool with that. But yes. If you've ever had
it looks like something you would serve in a prison.
Yes. All right.
I've seen those kind before.
If you just put a thing of water and potatoes in it, like, that's just watery potatoes.
Should I tell about my dad and your Faye?
You could.
We tease Faye about her potato soup and she was gonna fix it for Thanksgiving, I think, one year. We're just gonna have soups, you know, and my dad asked her, he said, "Have you bought your potato yet?"
Potato.
Have you bought your potato for your potato soup?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Hannah's had my wife's potato. You've had it too, Jason?
Yeah, it's
on
good.
A Wednesday night. Uh-huh. It's not a regular potato soup. It's a cheesy potato soup. Mm-hmm.
And that's it, the way I make mine, too.
It hits. Yeah. It hits so well.
It does need to be creamy.
Yeah.
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 I can eat the ones that aren't as cheesy that are still creamy, but I still think I like the cheese, more cheese.
Yeah,
in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. That's better.
Yeah, and if you want a little bit of pizzazz to it, she does use nacho cheese. And you can get the nacho cheese with a little bit of jalapeno.
Don't give it away in case we do the
oh,
the competition.
That's true.
But things
it's
can't
little,
be revealed yet.
Little pizzazz in it. And it's her potato soup is. I had Jesse eat it from the school, and he came back to me and he said, "I think that was the best potato soup of my life right there." I said, "I told you I wasn't going to lead you astray, son." I said, I'll be honest with you. And so, all right, well, let's.
Nobody's answered the question yet?
No, and I got to go to Bible. What are your thoughts on Mark Driscoll? What are your thoughts on Mark Driscoll? I've always liked Mark, I'll be honest with you. I've actually listened to Mark.
What's the name of the church that he pastors?
Trinity. It was Mars Hill before that, and people's going to know him notoriously with Mars Hill because there were some issues there.
Okay.
But I probably have listened to Mark for, I'd say, 12 to 13 years now. I've listened to him for a long time. And
he's not still at the same church?
No, there was some issues at Mars Hill. And Mars Hill, he was young, and Mars Hill went from a handful of people in a basement to a church of about 15,000, and we're talking in about, like, 4 to 5 years. I mean, this was dramatically. Mm-hmm. And then some things come crashing down, and you go on the internet, you're going to find a lot of stuff about Mark. I just don't believe a lot of it, to be honest with you. But I think for him, what I've seen in his Bible teaching is he's a really good Bible teacher. He brings it into practical things a lot. Mm-hmm. He's not the Bible teacher that breaks down this word and this word. He can. Like, he's incredibly smart. But he's more one who brings it into relevancy and practicality and brings it into how we can walk in it. I do think he has a heart for the Word of God. He has a heart for people. And he's kind of hit a little limelight right now because of his relationship with Charlie Kirk. And I would say his podcast he did immediately after was probably one of the best of the whole. It was about 30 minutes, and it was just, it was really good.
I didn't hear that. I've heard a few of his teachings, and I've always found them to be solid biblically and very good teaching.
Yeah.
I knew there was some issues at Mars Hill, but I don't really know much about
it.
So
there's like a whole podcast about it and a whole series about it and everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a lot. And I think he had some leadership failures in those. I don't think moral failures, like in the sense of he's never had like scandals like adultery or anything like that. It's just, I think there was some probably apparent leadership things. But that could happen to anybody when you grow from 20 people in a basement to 15,000 across 16 campuses. Like, if you're not ready for that. And but I think some of it was unjustly his fault. I mean, not his fault. I mean, he got blamed
unjustly
for it.
Accused.
Unjustly accused. Thank you. And but I do like him. I think he's a solid Bible teacher. I think some of his books, like, I think believers would really gleaned theologically from his book Doctrine. I think it's really good. Vintage Like Jesus Church, Vintage Jesus, Vintage Church is really good. Love and Marriage is kind of a different kind of marriage book, but I think it's really good for Christians to read. And his book, there's another one that I, it's like Reformed Letters or something like that. I can't remember the exact name, but I've read not all of that one, but it's really good in the sense of it brings real testimonies in the life of people who's been saved. And he talks about that and walking with him as a pastor. And it was really good. Like, it was really good. But I did read that too. So that's my thoughts on Mark Driscoll, if anybody else has got any.
Not really educated in it, so I can't. Other than just hearing his teachings, I thought his teachings were very solid.
Yeah. I can't really speak too much into it, but from what I have listened to him, it was good.
All right. Why does Peter put such emphasis on verse 8 in 2 Peter chapter 3? If somebody wants to read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8.
All right. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day.
This came up yesterday. Of course, you were in 2 Peter.
Mm-hmm.
But why does he put that in and said, be not ignorant of this one thing?
I think he's saying there, because the whole premise of that is that there's going to be those that say Jesus isn't coming back because of the time frame.
Where are we at, by the way?
Second Peter chapter 3. And basically saying, because Jesus hasn't come back yet, he's not going to. It's been a long enough. And I think Peter's just trying to stress that the Lord, I think the emphasis is the Lord doesn't have to operate in our timetable. And that what may be 1,000 years for us is one day is unto him, which is, I don't think myself, now this is just me, I don't think of that so much as actual, like the Lord saying, look, you're all 1,000 years a day to me, and so we always make it a day.
I don't
think that's what I think he's meaning that time isn't an issue for him. Like time isn't contained for him. I don't think God operates in time. I think the only reason times exist for our sake. But I don't think God operates on time, because you see over and over, like, he's not consumed with it.
Right.
Like, he's just not. Like, the only reason
we are. Because, you know, we'll say, you know, he hasn't shown up yet. You know, he's late, you know.
Yeah. But to him, he's right on time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He knows exactly when we need it. And he don't worry about the days. And he don't worry about the hours. He knows the broad stroke.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what needs to happen when.
We had a conversation about that with somebody one time. Is God always on time? And someone was like, no, because he shows up later than we need him, or like that we expect him to, but that's on our time.
Our time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not on our time, but he is on time, the time that he needs to be there, because he's the one who knows it from the end, from the beginning, you know? So I think we have to think about it like that, too. Like, he's not on our time schedule.
Yeah. So that's what I think, is that Peter here is just trying to say, don't let the time be the reason you think he's not coming back.
Right.
And that's what I think sometimes we take it as, well, we can take that 1,000 years and say one day. So if God says one day, it's 1,000 years. But I don't think that's always the case.
Yeah, and I think you do need to be careful, like especially interpreting prophecy and things like that, not to apply like days as 1,000 years. It's not a mathematical formula.
He gets really upset.
I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
All right, brother.
And I think it is a good comparison, but it's not, like I said, it's not a mathematical formula.
It's not precise.
Yeah. And I think we do that with is it Daniel with his, was it talking about? No, it's weeks in Daniel, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, but I do think people have done that, talking about maybe comparing the days of creation to the days of on the earth, and then the seventh day or the 7,000th year that God's going to rest, and talking about the millennial reign or something like that. And I just don't know that that's a good formula to use.
Yeah. Well, we do have an answer for this trivia question. It's Brother Steve. Mm-hmm. I accidentally did this. Well, the answer is Dan, and I wrote Dan instead of Brother Steve. so I have to correct that on my sheet here. But he said he knows how Jason gets whenever the answers don't get answered. So he was looking out for you. He was worried about you. Yeah. No, he was worried about you.
I don't get stressed out, but I just like, you know, I think.
You feel like a failure.
I can understand where the list, because you're listening, and then if you have to look up that verse, and I know our listeners would never Google the answer.
Yeah, Hannah gets after him pretty hard on that one.
So I can understand, like, I don't want to stop listening to go to my concordance. But I appreciate Brother Steve for doing that.
He was looking out for you.
Yeah.
I've noticed he's not answered as many lately. I think he felt bad for winning so much. He's given other people an opportunity to answer. But our sheet last week looked really barren. I mean, it was really barren for names and answers. So,
were they hard questions? Or
I think October was so busy for everybody, people didn't even have time to listen. I feel like this October, may have been the busiest October of our life.
Yeah.
Do you have any weddings?
Yeah.
Do you have one?
I've had one. But it's like, I mean, we've had the big life change, but it was just one event after another, one thing after another, we had some other things, and they're all good. Like, nothing's like, I don't want to go to that. Like, you wanted to go to everything. There was stuff we wanted to go to we couldn't because of time and schedules and all these kind of things. And but it's just like, it was busy. And so, and maybe that was why we were so barren on trivia answers last year. Everybody's just busy. But hopefully moving into November, it slows down. You know, holidays are always a really slow time of the year. So,
yeah.
But
probably November slower than December, would it be? I don't know.
I do want to say this, though. We had an incredible Saturday morning, too. We talked a lot about the chili cook-off and how great it was. But me and the Wilson kids, all seven of us, went to walk in the breast cancer awareness walk with my sister.
Okay.
So a lot of y'all know
that. I saw some pictures of some of those. Yeah. I didn't see any of you all, but I saw some pictures.
Yeah, Made for More. Jim hosted that at the city park, and there was a great turnout. It was a really great morning.
That's awesome.
And so my sister is doing well. For those who have asked, she's doing really well and just had her second surgery and cancer free. And
amen.
And so it was really cool. It was a moment that we got to line up around the middle and all the survivors got to walk around. You just clapped hands and cheered them on. That was really cool and really good turnout. And so really enjoyed that morning. My kids got to be a part of it, which was special, I think, for my sister and for my kids getting to kind of be a part. So
did they have food at that?
They had bananas, Jason, and pretzels and stuff like that.
But it wasn't like a potluck.
It was not a pot. It was just
I'm behind on my potluck.
It was a 5K.
I missed out on a couple.
Oh, was it a 5K?
Yeah, I actually planned to run the 5K. That was my intent, but because my back and shoulders messed up so much, if I run, it hurts. Like, it hurts really bad. So I just had to walk it. I was going to let the my mom and Jackson have the two strollers, and I was going to run it and come back and find them.
Let
afterwards.
Them run it with the strollers?
Well, they were going to walk, but I was going to run it, but I couldn't run it because of
that'd
it
be
just
hilarious
hurt
if a dad
so
if a dad ran it with a stroller.
I would have. Well, I do have a jogging
they make
stroller
those for running. Yeah.
Well, I do have a jogging stroller for Ivy, and so I could jog with her. That wouldn't have been a problem.
Seems a little dangerous to
me. But the baby,
not
so
much for you, but for the baby. Yeah.
I think for the 3-week-old baby, I'm not going to jog with him. I think I'm going to be okay with that one. But Ivy would love it.
Because there's
Ivy.
Just one wheel in the front.
Yeah, but that's what makes it safe, is that it'll turn.
I don't know.
Did you not see the record? There was a record set. A dad just ran a mile. Now, get this.
I did see this, yeah.
4-point-something minutes. That's almost a record mile up, like, just
with
until recently.
Stroller, yeah.
With a stroller. With a stroller, he ran a 4-minute mile.
Hey, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I'm honest to not remember, not forget to pray for Brother Billy.
Absolutely. We will pray right before the break. And but we are praying for Brother Billy. He's starting some treatment right now, too. And so
this week is real critical.
Absolutely. So let's do that. Mr. Gretchen, why don't you lead us in prayer for that, and then we're going to take a quick break and come back with Miss Megan Fortner.
Well, Lord, we want to just join together with, I know many people that are praying right now for Brother Billy, and we're just lifting him up to you, him and Nancy, and just ask you, Lord, that you just do a mighty work here, and we thank you for the doctors and the technology and the wisdom that they have and all that about how that they're working to fight cancer. And so we're just asking right now, Lord, that you put your hand upon it right now. We know that you're the great physician, the mighty healer, Lord, and we're just asking right now that Brother Billy will experience that he'll see his body reject that cancer and it be gone, be delivered, set free from it in Jesus' name. And we just thank you. I know he'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, we are back here. And we have Miss Megan Fortner on the phone with us. Long time, no talk, but we so appreciate her coming on the broadcast with us. And we are going to get right into it. So how are you, Miss Megan?
Blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. My new thing I've been saying is filled with gratitude, which is true. It's like the Lord keeps, I don't know how to explain it. It's hard to explain when you're filled with gratitude, because there's not really many words that can explain when you have that gratitude that comes from the Lord, seeing Amen. His, you know, seeing through his eyes for glimpses of time. And so thankful, yeah. thankful. And it's a great season to reflect on those things. I feel like this is a season, you know, towards the holidays that should be geared towards that. You know, the weather's getting colder, not able to get out and do as much as we normally do, and instead of giving into distractions and other things, you know, of the world, to be really filled more with the Lord during this time.
Yes. Amen. Be God inside minded.
Yes.
You know, be aware and alert. I tell people a lot of times, like, you know, if we're not seeing the little blessings, we're going to miss some of the big blessings that God gives us. And if we're not thanking him for the things that he's done for us, even if it's small, we're going to miss the big things that he does for us, because we're not even thankful for the little things that he does. Because he does a lot of little things for us every single day. And if we miss that and we're not thankful all the time for that, you know, the Bible tells us we rejoice and we give up thanksgiving to God, you know. So I'm really strong on that too, Hannah, where I always want to thank him for every itty-bitty little thing that he does, because I don't want him to think that he can't trust me with a lot of big things that he wants to give me or do or do for anybody, you know. So that's a big thing. It really is.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a big thing with that is if we don't see him in the small things, like, mm-hmm. not only will we not be able to receive, you know, he's not going to give us, you know, he says mm-hmm. we're faithful in little, we'll be faithful in much. But right. but even, I think, if we don't receive from him the small things, then we're not going to be able to hear from him and see what he's doing in the bigger things. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
If we're not able to see what he's doing and have an ear to hear, you know, what he's doing in the smaller things, then we probably won't catch some of the bigger things. And it's like, I don't want to miss out. I've been thinking about that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to miss out on what God is speaking and doing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
I agree. I mean, you're spot on. I mean, he does things for us every single day. Like, he does things and he moves things, and there's things that we don't even actually see in the natural that he's doing for us in the spirit. Like, there's battles we're not fighting because we're faithful to him and we're trusting him and we're, you know, we're following his word and we're standing strong in him and we're praying, you know, we're being led by the spirit. And, you know, God does things for us every single day. So I just position myself like you're saying, and I tell the boys, like, when the honor and the favor comes upon you or something happens to you, don't just be like, oh, yeah, no, thank God for that honor. Thank God for that blessing. Thank God for what he's doing. Because when we're thankful to him, that sends up, you know, I always tell him that sends up a sweet aroma to him, where he's like, oh, they get it. They see me. They sense me. They know me, you know. He delights in that. So, you know, I get everything, because I don't want to miss it either. Like, I don't want to miss one thing. because I want him to know that I see him in everything that is happening. Even in the bad, I see him. I see the good. So,
yeah,
it's really important. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, praise God.
Well, for anyone who has not, you know, is not familiar with you, go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we'll get into some more stuff, because we're so familiar, and most people probably do, but just in case there's someone tuned in that is not familiar with you, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Oh, praise God. My name's Megan Fortner. I'm from Northern Missouri. I'm a stay-at-home homeschool mom. I love to travel ministry, do travel ministry. I've written in, I don't know how many books now. I'm working on my devotional and hopefully to have my devotional out by the end of the year. So that's the hope, but if not, definitely January. I just love God and I love to help people know God, like know him, seek him, find him. I don't know. God's done so much for me that if you come to talk to me, you're going to hear about God no matter what, I love him. I like to show him. I love to show love. So, I'm just a lover of Jesus.
I love that. I love that, you know, all the things that the Lord has led you to do as far as, you know, speaking and, you know, podcast, whatever it may be, like, that's not the focus that you have whenever you're introducing yourself. It's how much you love the Lord. And you were just, you know, a nobody at one point. That and it reminds me of that song, the Casting Crown song, that wants to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. And like, that's where it starts, you know?
Yeah.
So I love that. I love, just your heart for the Lord. And also we were talking about this earlier, but, many may not have known that you had a very, a life threatening accident about a year ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little over a year, like a couple days or so, ago.
So you wanted to testify a little bit about that, too.
Yeah, so on October 21st last year, I came home from a women's conference, actually. Drove home, got on prayer call, and got into an accident where I was smashed by a trailer. And some people are like, how does that happen? Well, we got in an accident. Our trailer was standing straight up on its side. And my husband and I were just kind of talking about the accident, and then we go to get in the truck or go do whatever, and the trailer smashes down on top of me. I was life-flighted. Both of the bones in my leg, my right leg, were shattered through the skin. My hip was severely dislocated, but that was the only injuries that I had. I was on blood thinners, but a month and a half before the accident, I felt like I needed to quit taking them, so I did. And that saved my life, too, because if I would have been taking them, I would have bled out or I would have lost my leg.
Wow.
So God is completely in this whole entire story. I was told that I probably wouldn't be able to walk within a year, like walk good within a year, that there's things that I may have to deal with, arthritis. And, you know, these are all things that they just tell you because that's what they need to warn you of. But before my year mark, I was coaching basketball, playing defense, shooting, playing basketball. And I'm able to walk. If somebody saw me walking, they would never know, unless I had shorts on, that I had an accident, because that's how good God is when we trust him, stand on the word of God, believe the word of God above what the doctors tell us. Because like I was telling the doctor the day of surgery, you're going to do this surgery. You're not going to have to wait another day. The wound is clean. And he just laughed at me. And sure enough, everything that I spoke and believed in, God has been faithful to me, because I'm faithful to him and because I love him. And he knows I know my calling. I know what he wants me to do. And, he's been so faithful through it all. I mean, up to a year, whenever I went to my doctor's appointment, he's like, well, Megan, how's everything going? You know, how's your leg? And I said, well, I'm shooting, I'm playing basketball, I'm playing defense, I'm doing basketball lessons, I don't have any pain. And he just looks at me in utter shock.
Wow.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah, he's like, oh, really? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, you just keep doing what you're doing. And I said, I'm going to keep doing it. And he's like, I was like, God did what he told. I looked at him, I said, God did what I told you he was going to do. And he said, well, you just keep doing what God's telling you to do. So my most excitement isn't so much of everything I can do. It's that he even had God in his mouth. You know, yeah. That's my excitement. I'm like, I'm putting God in your mouth. Like, I'm going to show you what he can do, and I'm going to show you how good he is to me. So, yeah, it's been amazing. The journey has been amazing. It hasn't been hard. I mean, you know, we can look at all the things that we can't do. Like, I couldn't walk for 4 months or 6 months. It was about 4.5. And I couldn't walk. I was in a wheelchair. There were things I couldn't do that I wanted to do. But I was faithful in those moments. Instead of complaining, I was speaking, I will be walking by the next appointment. I will be able to do this by the next appointment. God is going to show up in my life, and he's going to do what his word says is do. His word brings healing to my mortal body. You know, I just kept speaking the word because I know he's faithful. And there was one appointment where they said, oh, Megan, you're not able to walk. And I said, that's okay. I said, I'll be walking at the next one because God's going to come through. And on my birthday, the day before my birthday, I was able to walk out of there.
Amen. That's so awesome. You know, I just keep thinking about how the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's what I've seen, you know, in you throughout your journey. And I mean, just a marker of your life in the Lord, you know, that's something that, and I've met people who, you know, they have truly discovered the truth of how the joy of the Lord is their strength. And that really is what gets them through. And I mean, we see that with Paul too, like, you know, just how it truly will get us through the hardest times. And it's almost like, I mean, I'm not trying to tie it into anything weird, but like a superpower, like it's like the joy of the Lord really is like, it's like power that gets us through. And that's just what I see throughout the situation. And man, I love that, you know, you're able to share your testimonies as a mom too, you know, a homeschool mom. What a testimony it is for your boys to see and learn. And I know that they've had, you know, a lot of opportunities for their faith to be put to the test and their faith to be activated and stirred up too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when the trailer landed on me, my boys came out, you know, and they were freaking out, like, mom, you know. And I mean, guys, I can't explain this, but God, right? Like, I cannot explain how I had the peace that I had being under there and being able to reassure my kids, hold their hand and reassure them, like, mommy's okay, everything's going to be okay, when they're seeing more than I'm seeing, right? I can't even see really what my leg looks like. I knew it wasn't very good. And I'm just like, let's pray that mommy has nothing wrong with her, and nothing eternally wrong with her organs, because I felt a little bit, you know, of pressure. So that was my main concern, was let's pray right now. And then I hear one of them singing. I hear one of them praying in the spirit. And when I close my eyes, because, you know, the Bible says, you know, don't look at the scene, right? So I closed my eyes because I didn't want to look at it anymore, because I didn't want the enemy to try to get in my head and mess with my head. And so I closed my eyes. And then when my boys are like, mommy, are you okay? I'm like, I am fine, guys. I just don't want to look at it. Let's just keep praying. To be able to do that in the moment, that's just God, right? That's just me being in the word and knowing what the word says and being, you know, obedient to him and just knowing who he is and what he's done for me before. And I know what he's going to do for me now. You know, it's just trusting him, trusting his word, and turning to him first, right? Yeah. I could have been like, oh my gosh, oh, my leg, and been all crazy, right? Going, oh my gosh, all this situation. No. I turned to him first, because in that, I had so much comfort. When I think about my year mark and I think about my accident, I see Jesus, I see God, I see the Holy Spirit all over that scene. That's what I see. I see them protecting me. I see him sheltering me. I see him giving me peace. I see him giving my kids peace. I see him walking with us. I see him with me the whole entire way, and that's all I see. The enemy tries to show me my accident. He's tried to show me visions of me dead and my kids' future and stuff like that, but I just laugh because I'm like, that didn't happen. That may have been your plan, but God has a better plan. So that didn't happen. So you can show me that, right? But I'm not going to go to that, because number one, faith is what my kids seen. Peace is what my kids seen. That gave them peace. That shows them God is real, which they knew that anyway. But God is real. and he's going to do what his word tells you he's going to do. We have to stay in that. We have to look at that. We've got to speak that. We've got to stand in that above anything else that tries to come our way, because that's how the truth prevails. That's how God works. So, yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Sorry.
That's so good. No, that's so good, because I think that we battle that, you know, and I think about the fiery darts of the enemy. And a scripture that actually I was reminded of when thinking about your kids and just kids in general is how their arrows in the quiver, you know, the Lord gives them to us. They're a heritage of the Lord, and they are like arrows in a quiver. And and I just started to think about, it's so cool how, you know, the enemy will send his fiery darts, but it's like the Lord gave us children, and he uses them in our life and in our families to actually combat or counteract those fiery darts of the enemy.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I began to see, was like, they are counteracting the fiery darts of the enemy, because there are more voices that are able to be used and speaking scripture, speaking life. And it's like, it's almost like a force field around, you know, the family. And that's what I saw, was like, that they were, them as arrows are coming against the fiery darts arrows of the enemy. And it's just a beautiful picture to see. And I'm just so excited to see the men of God that they're going to become. And well, they are becoming already, you know.
And I
think that that your testimony is really, you know, influential to people who are going through. It might not be an accident like you had, but the enemy is always trying to get us discouraged and to take our eyes off of what God has promised us by giving us, you know, fear, or, you know, those visions of us dead, or our children dead, or this happening or that happening. And that is a huge encouragement and a word to really keep our, even if we have to close our eyes, get our eyes off of whatever those images are, whatever those lies are, and really keep our eyes on the Lord. But go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. No, it's true, though. The Bible says, you know, we look not to the seen, but to the unseen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in any situation that you're going through, if you're having a hard time seeing the finish line, like the victory, because you already have the victory, you know, we already have the victory because we're in Christ. If you're having a hard time seeing that, then I just strongly encourage you to close your eyes, because greater is the unseen, and just get in the presence of, just talk to him. Like, just say, God, I'm having a hard time, and just talk to him. Tell him, lay it all out. You know, the Bible says, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. So cast it all out, and the next thing you know, he's going to give you, I heard this from Pastor Alicia, just this, where he's going to give you a divine exchange. And that exchange is going to be where he shows you your victory. He gives you the word to stand on for your, like, in your victory. He shows you the end result. Or he tells you, this is the word I want you to stand on. Anytime you start to think different, see different, speak this word. And then that's what you stand on. That's what you believe in. That's the only thing. You know, even when people start to come and say, I mean, it's even been to me, oh, Megan, you're probably not going to be able to play basketball again. I'm like, are you challenging me? Because listen, number one, I believe in God, and I believe what the word says about my healing. And I believe that God's going to do what he's already done, said he's going to do, and what he's, you know, and it's just like, I mean, I get an attitude in my face, not in like a negative, you know, I'm rude or anything like that, but I'm like, no, listen.
No, like a determination.
God's gonna come through. Yeah, God's going to come, because we've got to get there, people. We've got to get to where the word and what God says is above what anybody else ever says to you. We've got to get strong in that. You know, we have an attitude of faith. I mean, I even got to where some people came in my room when I was in the hospital, and they're like, oh, my gosh, Megan, oh, you could have died. You could, you know, it was all this coulda, woulda, shoulda, blah, blah, blah. And then, oh, you're just, how long is it going to, no. I finally was like, listen, I don't care about that. I didn't die. I'm alive. This is not a setback. this is just getting me in the direction I need to be. Listen, I'm going to be walking before you know it. I'm going to be doing this for, I was like, no, I'm going to, I was like, I love you and thank you for your sympathy. But sympathy can kill people sometimes. Uh-oh. I'm like, but listen, we are going to believe what the word says. My dad was crying and I said, listen to me, Dad, I love you. We're going to believe what the word says. I'm not dead. I'm alive. And this testimony, this is going to change the lives of other people because, listen, the enemy tried to take me out. He's not taking me out. He can't take me out. And number one, I'm going to share what God did and what God's doing and what he's going to continue to do because I believe that my testimony is going to light a fire in some people that's going to say, listen, if he did it for her, he'll do it for me. He'll do it for them. He'll do it for them. And I'm telling you right now, he will do it. All you have to do is stand on the word of God and believe it above anything else that ever tries to come against you, anything you ever see. If you have to close them eyes and say, listen, I'm standing on this word. I'm not looking at this. Listen, the God will shut the mouths of the enemy. God will shut the lion's mouth. He will bring you out of that pit if you allow him to. He will show you the victory. You can rejoice in it now because it's coming. I'm telling you, God will do more for you than he's ever done for me. It's taking knowing what the word says, standing on it, believing it, and listen, your children are watching you every step of the way. They watch you every step of the way, and you're going to make mistakes, and it's okay to tell your kids, sorry, I missed it there, so they can see when they miss it. But let me tell you, if you are strong in faith and you put the word on it, they're going to put the word on it too. They're going to put the word on it too. And so we believe the word over anything else. It doesn't matter. And any testimony that you have, do not be afraid to share it because somebody out there needs to hear it. Because
we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen.
That's right.
It just reminds me, like, it confounds the enemy. Like, I think that it stuns the enemy whenever he's expecting. I mean, normally we would expect someone to not be very bold when they're in a situation like you were, like boldly declaring these things and not accepting any defeat. But I just love whenever believers, you know, come into these situations and the Lord allows believers to be in the hospital bed or in these, you know, impossible quote unquote situations that like, you know, it just has to really catch people for a loop. Like it really has to throw them for a loop of like, how, you know, people that don't have Jesus and don't have that witness of this in the spirit of like, how is this person saying this right now? Like, I just love that, you know, it really does. It confounds the enemy, but it also, you know, it stuns people. And yeah. I think that's what Jesus is talking about when he said these signs, you know, these miracles are so for them so that they will believe. For those who don't have the faith. For those who don't have that belief, so that they may believe, because they see, they're like, there's, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And even if they don't give their heart to the Lord right then and there in that moment, you know, that's a seed, that's so many seeds planted in them that is gonna, you know, stick with them and that might be watered one day and they'll remember that. And I love when the Lord kind of shows me the bigger picture on situations because he really is in everything, you know, and his will is that all would, that none would perish and that all would believe, you know, and if it takes allowing one of his children to, you know, go through a wreck and end up in a hospital and be preaching the word, even when nobody's there listening, so that those seeds may fall somewhere, you know, it's just, I love how he works all things together. And it's crazy that you were taught. We have about 5 minutes left, but it's crazy that you were talking about. You said the words, you know, an exchange. I can't remember how you worded it, but the Lord was speaking that to me on Sunday was about a great exchange. And you know, you were talking about how He'll give you the truth. And when you give him, lay down and cast down that lie or cast whatever it is, he'll give you the truth. He'll give you the thing that you need. And, you know, what it was, the great exchange itself is the cross, you know, what he did for us, the that great exchange of he who knew no sin became sin so that we may become the righteousness of God, you know. And it's like just thinking back to the beginning of that, that he did that for us, not so that we could still continue to live without power and without that resurrection power, without that boldness, but so that that exchange was made so that we can actually receive the thing that we're exchanging, mm-hmm. you know, and actually mm-hmm. walk in it. So that was like a little confirmation for me.
Praise God. Well, I mean, a lot of people kind of think I'm silly because I thank him for the accident and everything. Like, everybody's like, you're crazy. How can you? Because there's a reason that things happen. And I know that even the enemy tried to come to me and say, well, why didn't God save you? Here you are sitting in the hospital. Isn't your God's? But listen, and that just fires me up, right? I sit there, I'm like, God did save me because I was like an inch away from the tire. I could have been smashed head from toe if I would have been in fear. No, I just listened to the prompting. You know, I just moved with the Holy. I mean, there's angels that protect us. I just move around, right? And I was like, God was there. He protected me. He saved me. Your plan was to kill me, but God saved me. And guess what? You made the biggest mistake of your life touching me and doing this, because I'm telling you now, this story is going to save millions of people. And so I talk back to the enemy, right? I tell him, like, in the name of Jesus, but I was like, you made a mistake when you tried to take me out. You really did. You thought you were gonna beat me and beat God, and you made a mistake, because this story and the testimony is bigger than what he could have ever even thought or imagined. And so I thank God that he was there, and I thank God that I have this testimony. I thank God that I can help people through this, because the word is true, and everything he did, no one can deny. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? No one can deny that God was with me and protected me. So, yes, the divine exchange, and one thing I just want to tell people, because I know we're getting to the end, is when the enemy tries to come to you and tell you something that goes against the word, use the word. The word is your weapon. Use the blood of Jesus. Use the name of Jesus. That is your weapons against him. And when it gets to become so much, take that, anything, if you have to, which you should, cast all your cares upon the Lord, like Miss Hannah was saying. Cast it on the Lord. When you take that stuff to him, he gives you a divine exchange of everything that you need in that moment. If you feel weak, he gives you strength. If you don't have an answer, he gives you an answer to combat what the enemy's trying to do. He will give you what you need. But it takes us taking it to him and listening to him, because he has it there for you. There's a table prepared in the presence of your enemies. You take it there, you lay it down, and he says, here, this is what I'm going to give you. And when he gives you that word, write it out. Slap it on your mirror. Put it in your car. Put it on the doorpost, because that is the word that he's given you to show you that you have the victory, and that's going to bring you through the victory all the way to it. So just stand on his promises, believe him in everything, and don't waver, and don't let negativity come into your life and people tell you something that goes against the word. Combat that as well in love and be like, hey, this is what the word says. Can you believe with that with me? And if they say, well, then guess what? There's other people that will believe with you. So I just want to encourage you that God has a plan. He has a purpose for you no matter what walk of life you're in. Take it to Jesus, lay it down, let him fill you up with everything that you need, but get in the word. It takes knowing the word.
Amen. Thank you so much, Miss Megan. We love you, and we'll talk soon.
Praise God. Thank you.
All right, that's it for this morning. We'll be back tomorrow with you guys 7 a.m. Central Time on Mornings with Box 2 Radio.